Hello, this is Father Mike Walker of Father Mike's Podcast, Father Mike's Bible Study Podcast, and the Catholic Combine, the pastor of St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Beaverton, Oregon. If you would like more information about the parish or the podcast, please feel free to email me at frmikewalker@gmail.com. And now, today's podcast. There was a time a few years ago when this scripture reading came up, this gospel, but it was a shortened version of it, and it was during a daily mass. So after reading through the gospel, I paused, and I said, well, that pretty much explains it, and then went and sat down. And I thought that maybe I could get away with it here on a Sunday, but I thought, well, there is a lot to explain in this gospel, so I thought it would take a little more time. But we know the basics, right? We've heard this several times. We all know that we are, as Christians, to love the Lord our God, love our neighbor, and love ourselves. It's Jesus' commandment. It's a commandment that is very easy to memorize, but very difficult to fulfill. But I do know that it's one of those things that in the United States, one of the reasons why it might be difficult for us is that we don't really have a clear concept on what we're talking about when we say love. For many of us, we hear that word and we're instantly thinking of it in romantic terms. So we think about it in the sense of songs and poetry and music, movies and things like that. But this concept of Christian love is really more about faithfulness and loyalty. And it incorporates and includes everything else that we might think of, but primarily that's kind of the idea. It's how we are being loyal and faithful to our God and connected in Him in that process. In the Greek words for love, there's actually three main words that they explain love. And the first one would be eros. Now that would be more the sentimental and passion that people might think of. So anyway, in that sense, that's one level of love that the Greeks would talk about. And the second level would be philios. Now, many of us have heard that word come up, filial love, you know, or Philadelphia. It's brotherly love, family love. So it's more of like the friendship type of love. There's also a love that is called agape. Now, this particular word kind of summarizes all the different loves, and it's kind of the higher love. It's the expression of love that is used most often when it comes to Jesus' love for us and the Christian love for one another. So anyway, this is the word that Jesus uses in the gospel today. It's the agape love. So we want to be able to include the fullness of that understanding of what love is. And now just to qualify it a bit, Jesus gave us four descriptions of how we are to love, and he's basing it on the book of Deuteronomy. It was the Shema, it was like a prayer that the ancient Jews, and they still do, but it's something that they would profess on a daily basis to remind themselves of the one God that they serve and the love that he has for them and how they are to love him in return. The second part of this command, to love our neighbor as ourself, comes from Leviticus. But I want to talk about the four ways that Jesus expresses how we are to love. So the first one, he says that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Well, we kind of have a basic idea of what that means. In the ancient world, the heart was considered the center of one's being. And so to love from one's heart was to love in a way that comes from the core of their very being. Let me give you an example about how that might be played out, though. For those of you who have ever sailed or been on a sailboat, you'll know that there are many different parts to make the sailboat work. You need to have the mast and the staff, you need to have the keel and the rudder, and everything works together to try to get that boat to go to the destination that's intended, and then to harness the wind in a way that makes that possible. Well, that's kind of what it is when we talk about loving from our heart. It's directing everything who we are from the core of our being and directing that in the direction of God and his ways. You know, so think about that when you hear about loving the Lord your God with your heart. It's like directing your heart so that you desire nothing more than God himself And you're directing everything you are and everything you do toward that end. You know, so that's one way to look at it. The next one is love the Lord your God with all your soul. Well, again, this comes from Hebrew roots, but the understanding is like it's your life. It's your very breath. In the story of creation, God gives life by breathing into Adam and in a similar way to Eve. But this idea of God's breath living within us and animating us is what that word originally draws its context. And then, of course, when we're saying, well, how do we love the Lord our God with our soul? Well, again, this is understanding that great gift of life that God gives us, but it's also trying to make sure that we are taking every aspect of our life and making that according to God's original intention. So I talked about the story of creation where Adam and Eve are created by God specifically and given that gift of life, but there was a perfect harmony that existed at that time. And God's intention was that perfect harmony between Adam and Eve, between each other, between God and creation, that this is what God intends. And so their goal would be to live their lives according to that original intention that God gives. Now, we know what God's intention is because it's played out in the Ten Commandments, in the moral teaching, in the gospel message of Jesus, in Jesus' own life, death, and resurrection, the example that he gives, and even in the lives of the saints, that glory of the gospel is something that if we want to love God with our life, we place our life at the service of the gospel, and that just means that we're living in the way that God calls us to live, that we're doing our best to fulfill his will and allow his will to be done in us and lived out in our lives. So it's how we live out the faith that we have. So we can see that going from loving God with your heart and then your soul. All right, and then also he mentions that we love the Lord our God with our mind. Okay, now this also is, we've been given a gift of intellect. We have free will. We're able to use our minds to love God. So when I first joined seminary, there were two halls, residence halls that the seminarians lived in. One was Anselm and the other one was Aquinas. When I moved into Aquinas in my first year, it was kind of a dive. They needed to be remodeled, and so I remember looking up and there was a light bulb just kind of hanging by a wire, and I was saying, I hope there's not a fire or something doesn't happen. But anyway, I survived, obviously. But the name of the dorm was called Aquinas because St. Thomas Aquinas was one of the great theologians and philosophers that the church has produced. And that's because St. Thomas wanted to use reason and logic to come to understand the truth of God. And he explained it in a summary of this called the Summa Theologica. Also, he had other works, Summa Contra Gentiles, and many other books. But the point of it is he wanted to use philosophy, science, reason, logic to come to a deeper understanding of who God is and what he did. And actually, if it weren't for the church, science would not have developed as it did. You know, because we have a natural tendency to want to know about God, and we don't think there's a conflict between reason and faith, that they both are harmonious, they work together. And so we can worship the Lord our God, we can love our God by including our logic and our reason in that process. St. Anselm, the other dorm, I think it had a great way to look at it too, because he explained it as faith seeking understanding. So what that means is, okay, so we have faith, great, but we also want to understand that faith. And if we're seeking true understanding, then God will slowly reveal the reason, the logic behind what we believe. And again, it's harmonious. And so this is part of who we are. And we can actually apply our faith by learning about it, reading the Bible, learning church teaching, reading even different philosophers and theologians, that we have so much of a richness of knowledge that comes to us through the Catholic Church. And so it's good for us to look at the saints and to read the doctors of the church and the theologians, but also Jesus himself, that when we read his writings, what he said in the New Testament and what was predicted in the Old Testament and those various books of wisdom, that we have this fullness of wisdom and knowledge that comes to us from the revealed faith that comes from God himself, that it is part of the equation of how we love, that we love God with our hearts, we love God with our actions, we also love him with our mind, and we can do that. All right, so the last one is that we love the Lord our God with our strength, with all of our strength. You might think, well, how do we love God with strength, like lifting weights or something? Well, we have to kind of look at it in the context in which that was written, that it's with the effort, with the strength that God gives us. And sometimes that is something that has to come from love, but it's expressed in the way that we have a certain power because of the love that we have from God. So one great example of this is St. Maximilian Kolbe. He was in a concentration camp in Auschwitz, and at the time someone escaped. And so what the Germans decided is that they were going to kill 10 people at random as a way of disincentivizing other people from escaping. And they selectively named off 10 people, and when the 10 people were named, one of them, when his name was called, he just kind of yelled out, "Oh, my wife and my children," because he knew that this was going to be devastating for his family. And St. Maximilian Kolbe knew about it, and so he said, "No, let me go in your place." And he talked the guards into allowing him to go in place of this other Jewish man who had a wife and kids. That would not be possible if it did not come from a place of love. That people could do great things when love is the motivation. You see this all the time with the way that parents act toward their children, and also you see it in the saints like Maximilian Kolbe. Sometimes it's not always so huge like that. Sometimes it might be in the little ways. For example, when we wake up and we don't necessarily have that extra hour of sleep, and we're a little tired and we think, "Oh, I don't feel like going to church, I'm tired," you know, but nevertheless, out of love, not out of mere duty, we say, "Okay, well, Lord, you called me to come and worship you, to praise you, and I'm going to do that." And so sometimes we have to push ourselves a little bit, even if we don't necessarily feel like it. It's a similar thing when it comes to prayer, when we're a little tired, or maybe we don't feel like it. We'll pray anyway, because God calls us to stay connected to him. Maybe we don't feel like forgiving someone who's done something to us, but we do it anyway because we realize that that is an expression of love. Maybe we don't feel like being charitable at times, but we can do it anyway because of love. That's the strength that we have and the determination and the effort that we put into our faith. So hopefully looking at these four different ways that we love might give you an example of how you can bring that love into your life and make it something that's part of your integrated faith. It really is a great thing that we have a Lord who teaches us so simply in some ways. All we have to do is love God, neighbor, and self. And as that young scribe who heard Jesus say this, you know, he says, "Yes, yes, you are true. That is correct. That is right." But then afterwards, when Jesus saw that he had understanding, he said, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And so the same could be said to us. We do have understanding. And so in this next week, let's do our best to maybe think about those different areas. If you need to reread it, it's chapter 12 in Mark's gospel. But just kind of think about those four areas and then say, "Okay, Lord, help me to live this life of love like you call me to." And if we do, we will not be far from the kingdom of God. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. May God bless you and be with you as you live out your faith and serve the Lord this week.